All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter number 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 15. Let me give you the story tonight, give you the environment tonight. The children of Israel have won the victory over their enemies. Now, folks, tonight, you and I have an impossible task of putting ourselves into Scripture in the environment of chapter 7 and 8. We've never been oppressed people by another nation. Americans don't know what that's like, not the Americans today. We don't know what it's like to have an invading army over us, telling us, taking our checks from us as we work, putting us in the position where we have nothing. I mean, the Philistines had taken Israel for years, and they would come in when they'd raised their crops, they'd let them plant them, they'd get them up. Just before harvest time, they'd go in and burn them down. And what you have to understand is that means, what would we do if there were no giants that had any food in them, if there were no Wegmans that had any food in them, if there were no Harris Teeters, there were no places where you could go get food? What would you do tonight? And so the Philistines had caused that kind of environment for the children of Israel for like 15, 20 years. And so what happened was Samuel preached to them and said, you just need to return to the Lord. So they said, okay, we understand that. We're tired of our circumstances, and we know we've turned our back on the Lord, and we're sorry, and ask the Lord to forgive us. And so you'll notice that happened in the first part of chapter 7. And so God said, okay, I'll stand up for you. While they got together to worship the Lord, the Philistines said, the children of Israel are getting ready to fight us. They're getting everybody together. Well, they were getting together to worship the Lord. The Philistines thought they were getting together to put their armies together. So if you'll notice in verse number 8, verse number 7 of chapter 7, when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. So they claimed God as their own, but they didn't know how to talk to him. Is that your circumstance tonight? Do you claim to be saved? Do you claim to know the Lord, but you don't talk to him very much for yourself? That's the way it was in Israel. So understand their fears. They had no way to relieve their fears. You and I can get on our knees and say, Lord, can I talk to you? And know that the God of heaven is concerned for us. They could not get through to God. They felt like they needed to get Samuel to pray for them. So that's what verse 8 says. The children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. How would you like to have a religion like that when you can't talk to the God of heaven yourself? There's a lot of religions like that. They go to church and they get the priest to pray for them, but they don't feel comfortable to talk to God. That's why Jesus died for you, was to give you the privilege of talking directly to the Lord yourself. The question is, are you like the children of Israel? You have a God, he's my God, but you don't talk to him much. Well, so notice what happens. Samuel's giving an offering, and then you'll notice, if you would, In verse number 9, that the Lord heard him. So the Lord heard Daniel. Everything was going well. But then notice, if you would, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against the Israelites. So they're getting ready to worship the Lord. They're getting ready to say, Lord, we love you and we're sorry. We're trying to return back to you. Take your Bible and turn with you to chapter 7. Look back, if you would, in verse number 3. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. So they had worshipped false gods. They had done the wrong things. He said, look, if you're willing to return back to the Lord, then I tell you what I want you to do. Okay, thank you. All right. Thank you. I want you to come back to the Lord. And if you'll do that, he'll take care of you. Now, notice with me, if you would. So they get surrounded by the Philistines. They're fearful. They're saying, Samuel, we came to pray and talk to the Lord. We came to worship the Lord, and you talked to him for us. And now the Philistines are getting around us. They're going to come back and destroy us now because they think we were getting ready to battle with them. We're not. Crying to the Lord for us. And so Samuel says, okay. And he offered a lamb to the Lord. They all worshiped the Lord. And he said, Lord, would you help us? Would you take care of our enemies? So the Philistines circle around them, get ready to attack. And notice what happens. Verse 10. And Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against the Lord. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Discomfited mean they confused them. It was a thunderclap was so loud. How many of you ever been in a thunderstorm and the clap was so loud that it just jarred you? I mean, you could feel the thunder in the ground. It just shook. In Texas, we have those kind of thunderstorms, and boy, they come up and they clap, and man, it startles you for a minute. Well, that's what happened to the Philistines. And the Lord did it so much and so powerfully and so loudly that the Philistines didn't know what to do because they were fearful that their God of Israel was fighting for them. So the Israelites started battling and won the battle. They were totally unprepared, but God won it for them. So now they have peace. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. And the cities of which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. So the Philistines had come in and taken whole cities of people away and lands. And so the coast thereof, verse 14, did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines? And notice the next phrase, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. So there's peace now in Israel. Everybody's comfortable. They're starting to do their crops again. They're no longer fearful. Their crops will be burnt or stolen from them. There's peace. And notice with you, if you would, verse 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Now what that means is, he would go to different places, and notice if you would, verse 16, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. So what he would do is he would go to various cities, four of them in total, and he would sit in judgment like a judge, and people would bring hard cases to him. Well, Samuel, we made a deal with my neighbor to sell a certain amount of land, and he backed out of the deal, and blah, 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 blah. And what do we do? And Samuel would make a decision, and they would abide by it because Samuel had the wisdom of God. So they would wait until Samuel came for all these hard questions, sort of like a Supreme Court justice if they traveled around the country and answered our questions. Well, that was what Samuel did all the days of his life. In the meantime, he was preaching. I mean, notice if you would, In verse number 17, and his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. So you'll notice, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. So he worshiped the Lord in Ramah and all these other cities when he was there, but he also judged the people during the week. So he is a busy man. Now I want you to notice, if you would, Roman numeral 3 in the outline. We're going to finish up the chapter 15. Samuel was a faithful judge and prophet. The word is faithful. A, he rode a circuit to judge Israel from Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah. He traveled most of the time. So somebody tell me what that means when someone travels most of the time. Tell me what that means. You're not at home much. Well, notice, it affected his family. There's been many a great man of God that invested his life in ministry more than family. And it cost him, and it cost Samuel. And I want you to understand this. You might look at a preacher and say, well, he spent too much time at the church, or he spent too much time at this or that in the ministry, and didn't spend enough time with his family. I cannot tell you the number of preachers that have done that. But I can tell you a lot more businessmen that spent so much time at work, when they came home, they didn't want to do anything with the family, and it was as though they were gone. And many a businessman has traveled an awful lot and not been with the family, and it hurts the family. So you'll notice with me, if you would, in the outline, Roman numeral 3b, he lived in Ramesh and judged there also. He worshiped in Ramesh as well as other places. So he was faithful in worshiping the Lord. He was faithful in judging the people. He was fair. He was honest. He always did the right thing. And he preached all over. And people did what was right. And notice, if you would, Roman numeral 1 of chapter 8, Israel rejected the leadership of Samuel and the Lord. So in the midst of all this peace, now keep in mind, they had gotten stripped of all their wealth, and they were subjects to the Philistines, and then all of a sudden they prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, we're sorry, forgive us. They returned to the Lord, and the Lord blessed them and gave them peace, and then they said, you know what? Look, if you would, in chapter 8. It came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now, I want you to notice A in the outline. Samuel put his sons in a leadership role, and they didn't deserve it. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of points about that. You might want to just put them underneath A. They didn't walk after the ways of their father. Part of the reason was he wasn't at home much. He didn't spend much time with his children. You can see that he judged Israel on the circuit from all the time, his whole life, it said. And you'll notice with me, if you would, in verse 2, now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. In verse 3, and his sons walked not in his ways. That's the first thing I want you to notice. His sons did not follow his example. And guys here tonight, if you have children, you have to spend enough time with your children to let them see the character of your heart and the love of your heart and the discipline of your heart. They have to see that before they're going to have it in their life. You are their example. Now, you can bring them to church and all that. That's great. But your children see what you love, and they want to love that, especially if you spend time with them. Let me ask you a question. I love serving the Lord. My son loves to serve the Lord. I love Northern Virginia. My son loves Northern Virginia. I love Texas. My son loves Texas. I love the Dallas Cowboys. I've talked with him about it and all that's going on with it. And guess what his favorite team is? The Cowboys. What I'm trying to say to you is when you spend time with your children, and I cannot tell you the number of hours. We came up here, I wasn't used to this weather. In Dallas, you can play football about 11 and a half months out of the year. You can go outside and shoot hoops. You can go outside and throw the ball. You can spend time with each other in the parks. But you can't do that here. So we have something here we didn't have in Texas. We had a basement in our house. What in the world is that? It's a hole in the ground. And I walked down the steps and I says, wow, this is a pretty cool place. What is this? Concrete wall, tap, 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 tap. Yeah, that's the floor to the house. Wow, that's pretty cool. So we got a Nerf basketball goal and set it up back there. And Jeremy and I would play Nerf basketball. And we got a ping pong table. We put it down there and we started playing ping pong. And we would play 15, 20 games a night. And we'd talk about how wonderful the Dallas Cowboys were. And they were 1-15. And we would talk about how wonderful his mom was. And he fell in love with his mom. And we would talk about how wonderful the Lord is and how wonderful it is to serve the Lord. And he fell in love with the Lord too. And fell in love with serving him. And we would talk about how wonderful Northern Virginia was, all the four different seasons and how cool that was. And he liked Northern Virginia. Now, it's not always that your children follow everything that you do. But the things that you love and they love you, it just connects. And all I'm saying to you is, if you don't cram it down their throats, but you have discipline. For instance, the discipline that I had about playing ping pong is mom would come down and say, did Jeremy win today? No, mom. We'd go up the stairs and Susan would say, honey, when are you going to let him win? Never. I like to win. If he wins fair and square. So, okay, I think he was a senior in high school, and we've been playing for years, and he got a new paddle. And the new paddle, the rubber on it was sticky. How many of you know what I'm talking about when you're playing ping pong? He had a new paddle, rubber was sticky, and we started playing, and the ball was jumping all over the place. I said, what is going on? And he beat me 4 out of 5 games. And she asked a question. Did he win tonight? He beat me 4 out of 5. That's wonderful. No, it's not. I'm going to go buy me a new paddle now. And so that's the way it was. We were competitive with each other, but we loved each other. And what I'm trying to say to you is Samuel didn't do any of that because he was busy doing good things. And all I'm trying to say to you is that you and I must not get too busy doing good things that we don't do the best things. And the best things are what some of the things Samuel did. He loved the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. And he walked with the Lord. Notice in verse 5, and he said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Twice, verse 3 and verse 5, the people of Israel said, your sons don't walk in your ways. You know what they were saying? You're a man of God. You do the right thing, but your sons don't. Now, that was the first statement they made about his sons. And you'll notice they said, what they also said in verse number 2. Now, the name of the firstborn was Joel. The name of the second was Abiah. And there were judges in Israel. And his sons walked not in his ways, but notice what they did. But turned aside after lucre. In other words, they wanted to make money. Samuel didn't care about money. Now, he had a home. He took care of his family, but money wasn't a big deal to him. It's just a thing. Is money a big deal to you, or is it just a thing? You want your children to know, sure, you work hard, and you work hard for money, but it's a tool. It's a tool to be good to your wife, to your children, to the Lord. It's a tool to be good to others. It's not something you hoard. Notice, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes. They were dishonest. And perverted judgment. You know what that means? They didn't judge fairly. If they liked somebody, they'd judge in their favor, right or wrong. Didn't matter. Samuel didn't do that. They trusted Samuel. They didn't trust his sons. So I want you to notice what happened. Look in verse number 3. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah to his house and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now we want to change. Notice with me, if you would, in the outline. Israel gathered together, B in the outline, and told Samuel he was too old to lead. In other words, you're old. There's coming a time when we got to replace you. And his sons were vile. So they had a solution. They wanted a king. Now, notice with me if you would. One, be one in the outline. Because Samuel didn't have godly sons, Israel came up with their own solution. They wanted a king to be like the other nations. Look at me, if you would, in verse number 5, the second part of it. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. So because Samuel failed to train his children right, they were expected to be judges and fair like their father. And you know what? The world expects our children to be honest like us, if we're honest. They expect, how many have ever heard the saying, like father, like son. How many have ever heard it in a bad way? It's used both ways. You want to know why? You know, have you ever heard the saying, an apple doesn't fall very far from the tree? You know what it's saying? That we're connected to our parents. And my question for you is this. We can learn several lessons by Old Testament prophets and saints, both good and bad. And the Lord lists them all. And so if the Lord were to use you tonight and write you in a book, what would he say about you? You were faithful in all that you did, but you traveled a lot. Would he say you're faithful in all that you did, and you were honest, but your sons weren't like you? Eli had the same problem. Samuel grew up without a good example, and he followed in the same path. Only he was different. Folks, tonight, the Lord wants you to train your family to be different like you are different. So the first thing is, you and I have to say, Lord, am I different? Am I like Samuel? Because I want to do right. Lord, I want to please you. That's the first thing everyone in this room has got to decide in your own mind, in your own life. Am I doing the right things? Am I trying to please the Lord? Have I returned unto the Lord? Notice with me, if you would, back in chapter 7. Look with me, if you would, in verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange god and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. So you know what he's saying? Prepare your hearts. Spend a little bit of time with the Lord. Everyone in this room, if you want to be an example, you've got to get up sometime during the day, in the morning, in the evening, and you've got to take a little time and sit down and say, Lord, it's me. Can I talk with you? And you spend a little time and you read God's word and you underline in it and you make notes of things that you work on for that day. And then you spend a little bit of time with your children that day so you can tell them a little bit about things that you've learned, and they can see into your life and into your heart, and they hear you talk about things that are honest and things that are good and things that are of a good report and things that are right, and then they begin to learn to talk about things like that, and you tell them why that's important. If you have your Bible turned to Deuteronomy 6, I want you to see very quickly, real quickly. We'll not take a lot of time here, but I want you to see this passage. I want you to see it, just real notice what God expects. Deuteronomy 6, listen to the first. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So God expects all of us in this room that have families to talk to our children, to our wives if you're a husband, to your husband if you're a wife, about the things of the Lord, about the goodness of the Lord, about the blessings of the Lord, about how wonderful the Lord is, about the answers to prayer we've had. If you don't do that, your children will turn to the world, just like Samuel's kids did. You don't want that. You have to be real. Samuel was real, but he didn't spend enough time with his children that either A, to correct them, B, to talk about all the wonderful things of the Lord so that they learn to be like their father or like their mother. Hannah, did Samuel do right? He had a great mother. She didn't get to spend much time with him, but boy, I guarantee she prayed for him, and when she did was there, she taught with him and she encouraged him to do the right thing. Do you understand tonight that children are like computers? You either leave them to themselves and they go crazy, or you program for the Lord. You teach them what right is. You teach them what truth is. You teach them to always tell the truth. You teach them to be kind and gracious. It's not a natural trait. Notice with me, if you would, in Roman numeral 1b, look at 2. The solution that the Israelites said, look, because we don't have anybody like Samuel to lead us, We got an idea. Let's be like the world. Let's go get us a king. Now, I want you to notice in chapter 8, in verse number 5, he said, now let's make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. In other words, let the king be our judge because everybody else does it that way. Now, folks, tonight, God doesn't want us to be like the world and the nations. He wants us to be like him. And that's the reason a father and a mother are to be like him. So the children have a pattern to follow. Notice with me, if you would, 2 in the outline, B2, this solution would make Israel like all the other nations and remove some of their personal responsibilities. 1, they no longer had to walk with God or trust him to protect them. They were just going to follow their king. In other words, it removed the responsibility from them personally, training their own families. Now we've got a king. Let's trust him. He'll fight our battles. He'll go against the Philistines. But they didn't personally say, this is our country, this is my family, and Lord, would you take care of me, and would you take care of my family? Lord, would you help us to serve you faithfully? They didn't feel like they had to do that because they got a king. And everybody worships the God they want to and let the king take care of things. So notice with me, if you would, verse 6, but the thing displeased Samuel. When they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Now Samuel knew exactly what to do. When he was displeased or disappointed, you know what he did? He goes over and gets on his knees and says, Lord, could I talk to you? When he got hurt, Lord, could I talk to you? But the children of Israel, they didn't know what to do. They didn't follow his example because they couldn't spend much time with Samuel. Too many people. God doesn't expect everybody to spend time with me. God expects everybody to spend time with the head of their household. Ladies, men, he expects them to you to be the example for your children, man or woman. Married or not, he expects both of you to represent him well and to work with your children, spend time with him. Mrs. Wesley, Susanna Wesley, had 17 children. She purposed, that's where we get John Wesley and the Wesley brothers that did so much great for the gospel. And what she did was she said, I'm going to spend 1 hour every week with each one of my children. I'm going to spend a time. I'm going to get a time with them every week. Now, you know, that's like 17 hours a week of work just to spend an hour with each child. But she set aside time, and no wonder her children had a spiritual heart. No wonder her children wanted to do what was right. So it is important that you and I make a commitment to say, I want to do the right thing, because there's people watching every one of you in this room. No one in this room, no matter who you are, is a blank slate. Nobody's watching. You're not a blackout. There are people in your family watching. There are people at work watching. People in your neighborhood are watching. People in this church are watching. If you'll notice in Titus, it says the older men and the older women or to teach the younger men and the younger women. How do you do that? By example, by words, by prayer. And you got to understand, that's the way. And then he says, you know, I want you to be a pattern. Young men, be a pattern. Young ladies, be a pattern. You be an example. Now notice with me, if you would, if you decide not to lead in your family or not to walk right, if you decide you're not going to walk with the Lord, remember the two parts to Samuel's children not doing right was they didn't want to walk after their father in the ways of their father, in truth and integrity and honesty and in love and worship the Lord and put the Lord first in their life. Those are the ways of Samuel. And then the opposite is then they became dishonest and they became corrupt and they became, you fill in the blanks. So obviously Samuel had those traits because the people saw it, but it didn't get passed down. But God expects that in Deuteronomy 6. So we can learn that lesson here. And there is a tremendous payment when our children don't follow us. It ruins churches. It ruins families. It ruins countries. So notice, when, if you would, number three in the outline, Samuel was greatly disappointed and prayed to God about what to do. Samuel always and consistently did the right thing. But I want you to notice, God answered. Number four, God answered and told Samuel the people rejecting God as their leader, not Samuel. And said Israel had forsaken him in their hearts. Look at chapter 8, verse 7. The Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. Verse 8, according to all the words which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even until this day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. God said, look, Israel has always had the tendency to, when I bless them, when I'm good to them, they go the other direction. I pray that's not us. Because God's been good to all of us. Do we follow him in appreciation? Do we love him in appreciation? Or do we take advantage of what he's given to us and say, now I can do what I want? That's what Israel did. And so the Lord said, now notice in verse 9, now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. So God just said to Samuel, look, protest to them you don't want a king. And here's why. And Samuel, you tell them why they don't want a king. God, now notice if you would, now therefore hearken unto the voice, verse 9, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them, in verse 10. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that he asked him of a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king shall reign. God didn't tell him to say that. God said, you tell them the manner. And so Samuel said, I know the way kings are. I'll tell them, Lord. And so you might say, look, I can tell my children the way the world is. I can tell you the way the wrong friends do. I can tell you the way this happens. I can tell you the way, the wrong women do, the wrong men do. I can tell you about that, son. Let me tell you about that. That's what God looks at us and says, hey, you tell your children. You tell your family. God did not tell Samuel everything to say. He just said, you tell them. So notice what he tells them. Verse 11, and he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. Now, I'm going to give you the outline, and I want you to just follow along with me. Number four, God answered and told Samuel the people were rejecting God as their leader and not Samuel. God had said Israel had forsaken them in their hearts. Now, you'll notice that God had said in their hearts, they had forgotten me, they had forsaken me. Look back over in chapter 7 in verse number 3. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do, return unto the Lord with all your hearts. In other words, your heart is in it. It's not a head decision. It's a real decision. And they didn't make a real decision. They made a head decision. They said, we want to be out from underneath the Philistines, so we'll make this decision. And God said, you got to make it with your heart. When you make one with your heart, it sticks. When you make it with your head, it usually doesn't. And God said, you got to make it with your heart. In other words, you got to believe it. It's got to be real to you. And the difference between a Christian that's real and one that's not real, and they stand side by side and you can tell them apart until they start walking in life, one is real. He's got his heart in it. He believes in it. One is not real. He does it for an alternate reason, to look good. So his family be blessed. So he can get raises at work. So he can sing in the choir. So he look good at church. The real Christian just does what's right for the Lord's sake and doesn't worry about the rest. And the Lord takes care of all the rest. Which one are we? Notice, five, Israel did not, this is five in the outline, Israel did not want to submit and follow God. Finally, the Lord told Samuel to give Israel what they wanted, a king. Now, I want you to notice tonight, we're going to close. Samuel, next week you got to come back, because Samuel told everything about what a king was going to be like. And I want you to notice what their answer was. Look with me if you would. Down in verse 19. He takes 11 through 18 to tell them all that the king is going to require of them. And in verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. And notice the reason why. That we may be like all the nation. That's number one. We want to be like everybody else. Folks, it's a dangerous thing when you want to be like the world. Notice number two. And that our king may judge us. We want somebody to make a hard decisions for us. You know who makes the hard decisions in a family? Whoever's in charge. A husband and wife together. But they get the answer from the Lord. But if you don't grieve over it and pray over it and plead with the Lord to give you the right answer, you know what? It's just a lot easier to say, what does a king want us to do? They wanted to abdicate their responsibilities. They wanted an easy life. So he says that he may judge us. And notice verse 20, and go out before us and fight our battles. You see, they wanted someone to take care of them. They didn't want to take care of themselves. And they didn't want to trust the Lord to take care of them. That's the sad part. Now notice with me if you would, 7 in the outline will finish. We must be careful to always let God be our king. Notice if you would, in verse 21, and Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. You know what? You can push the Lord by your actions so much, he says, okay, have it your own way. I remember reading a little article that I thought was a perfect example of this years ago. There was a lady in the 1800s traveling on a train. This lady was very wealthy. She was in the wealthy car, and she had a nanny taking care of her son, and her son was a spoiled brat. How many have ever seen that kind of a scenario before? How many have ever kind of seen that kind of scenario? Well, he was a spoiled brat. And so the lady's sitting there, and she's relaxing, and she's not paying attention, and the nanny has got the child on her side. And so the little boy starts screaming, and she could hear him say, no, no. And he would say, ah, I want that, ah. And she'd say, no. And pretty soon, the mom leaned over and said, would you let him have what he wants? The lady said, okay. So in about 4 or 5 seconds, she heard this blood-curdling scream. And he's screaming. And she said, what is wrong with you, son? And he opens his hand and he's crushed a wasp in his hand. And it stung him. And she said, you let my son have a wasp? And she said, no, ma'am. I was trying to keep him away from it. But you said, let him have what he wanted. Well, you should have told me. You didn't give me a chance to tell you. You just said, let him have it. That's the children of Israel. God said, let them have what they want. Tonight, if you say to the Lord, I want to be like everybody else. I want to have everything everybody else has got. You better be careful. You want to say this, Lord, I'm yours. I only want what you want me to do and have. Then the Lord, the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you want what you want? Sometimes they sting. How many of you have ever asked for something and God didn't give it to you, and you were glad a few months later he didn't? Raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Look at all the hands. So you see, we have to learn to say, Lord, I want this, but not my will. Yours be done, Lord. You do it. The children of Israel said, we want a king. We don't care. Tonight, be careful of that spirit. Israel is a tremendous example. Next week, we're going to come back and look at chapter 8, the last part of it. And you're going to see, and once we read through this list of things, you're going to say, why would anybody want a king but a crazy person? I'll tell you who does. Someone who's not right with the Lord and can't see the truth. So tonight, let me encourage you. Be careful. Whatever you want, Lord, is this okay with you? He will always give you the right thing. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come tonight and talk with the Lord, I urge you to do that. I'm glad you're here tonight. And I trust that you'll take the words of God seriously. There are many people on the prayer list. I trust that you'll take a little time to pray over them before you leave tonight. Let's bow forward to prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for being our safety net. Lord, many times we want the wrong things. I pray that you'd help us to have the courage to take your hand off of that which we want and say, Lord, but not my will, yours be done. Lord, I only want it if you want it. Father, I know there are people here tonight trying to make some difficult decisions. You give them the courage to trust you in it. And Lord Jesus, would you guide their very steps and thoughts? Father, hear our prayers tonight. We need you. Lord, if those need to talk to you tonight, come to this altar and lift their burdens to you, would you give them the grace and the strength to do it? In your name we pray. Amen.